Nathanael, Chapter 24. From the corner of his eye, Nathanael saw the bat flitter away towards an age-old yew tree, which had somehow managed to survive centuries of burials in one corner of the cemetery. A particularly desiccated branch offered a good view of the path. The bat alighted under it and hung still. Nathanael took a deep breath, adjusted his hat, and strolled forwards, as nonchalantly as he could. All the while his eyes were fixed on something moving in the depth of the cemetery. Despite the profound scepticism he felt for the whole farrago, the dankness and solitude of this lonely place had infected his spirits. Against his wishes he found his heart thudding painfully against his chest. What was it he saw before him? A pale corpse-light, drifting nearer, a greenish milky white in colour, staining the stones as it passed with an unhealthy radiance. Behind it came a moving shadow, hunched and shambling, weaving ever nearer through the stones. Nathanael narrowed his eyes. On none of the three observable planes could he see any demonic activity. This thing, presumably, was human. At last the crunch of gravel indicated that the shadow had stepped out upon the path. It did not stop, but came smoothly onwards, a ragged cloak or cape drifting drearily behind. As it drew close, Nathanael noticed a pair of unpleasantly white hands protruding from the front of the cape, holding something that let off the feeble witch-light. He tried hard to make out a face, too, but this was concealed by a heavy black hood that curved down like an eagle's talon. Nothing else of the figure could be seen. He turned his attention to the object held in the pale hands, the thing that shed the strange white glow. It was a candle, firmly wedged into...
"Ugh!" he said in Czech. "That's disgusting!"
The figure stopped short. A high, thin voice sounded indignantly from under the cowl.
"Here, what do you mean?"
It coughed hastily. A deeper, slower, altogether more eerie voice emerged at once.
"That is to say, what do you mean?"
Nathanael curled his lip.
"That horrible thing you're carrying, it's foul."
"Beware. It is an item of power."
"It's unhygienic, that's what it is. Where did you get it?"
"I cut it down from a gallows myself, by the light of a gibbous moon."
"I bet it isn't even pickled. Yes, look, there's bits falling off it."
"No, there aren't. That's strips of candle wax."
"Well, maybe.
But it's still wrong to be carrying it around with you. I suggest you toss it behind those gravestones, then wash your hands."
"Do you realize," said the figure, who had now one fist wedged irritably against his hip,
"that you are referring to an object that has the power to send my enemies into a stupor and can detect watchful magic at 50 paces? This is a valuable item. I'm not bidding it."
Nathanael shook his head.
"You ought to be locked up. That kind of behaviour wouldn't be tolerated in London, I can tell you."
The figure gave a sudden start.
"London? What's that to me?"
"Well, you're Harlequin, aren't you? The agent?"
A long pause.
"Might be."
"Of course you are. Who else would be wandering through the graveyard at this time of night? I don't need to see that icky candle thing to know it's you, do I? Besides, you're speaking Czech with a British accent. Enough of this. I need some information, fast."
The figure held up its free hand.
"One moment. I don't yet know who you are."
"I'm John Mandrake, on government service, as you well know."
"That's not good enough. I must have proof."
Nathanael rolled his eyes.
"See that?" he pointed upwards. "Blood-red feather."
The figure considered it.
"That looks brick-red to me."
"It's blood-red.
Or it will be in a minute if you don't stop this nonsense and get down to business."
"Well, all right, then.
But first..."
The figure adopted an eerie stance.
"I must check that no watchers are among us. Stand back."
It held up the object in its hand, spoke a word. Instantly the pale fire flared outwards, becoming a luminous hoop of light that hovered in the air between them. On another command, and with a sudden rushing, the hoop expanded, rippling out in all directions across the graveyard. Nathanael glimpsed the bat drop like a stone from its perch upon the tree, just before the band of light passed by. What happened to the bat he did not see. The hoop continued out beyond the edge of the graveyard and swiftly faded into nothing. The figure nodded.
"It is safe to talk."
Nathanael pointed to the candle, which had resumed its previous dimensions.
"I know that trick. That's an illuminated circlet, triggered by an imp.
You don't need a dead man's extremities to pull that off. This gothic stuff is all jiggery-pokery, suitable for gawping commoners. It won't work on me, Harlequin.
Perhaps.
A gaunt hand disappeared inside the cowl and scratched something ruminatively.
Even so, I think you're being overly fastidious, Mandrake. You're ignoring the fundamental basis of our magic. It isn't so clean and pure as you make out. Blood, ritual, sacrifice, death, that's at the heart of every incantation we utter. We all rely on gothic stuff, when all's said and done.
Here in Prague, maybe, Nathaniel said.
Never forget, London's power was built on Prague's. So, then.
Harlequin's voice turned suddenly businesslike.
The imp that reached me said you were here on a top-secret mission. What is it, and what information do you want from me?
Nathaniel spoke quickly and with some relief, outlining the main events of the previous few days. The man under the hood heard him out in silence.
"A golem abroad in London?" he said, when Nathaniel drew to a halt. "Wonders will never cease. There's your gothic stuff coming home to roost, whether you like it or not. Interesting."
"Interesting and intelligible?"
Nathaniel asked, hopefully.
"I don't know about that, but I may have some details for you.
Quick! Back down!"
With the speed of a snake, he threw himself to the ground. Without hesitation, Nathaniel did likewise. He lay with his face pressed against the graveyard soil, listening to the sound of jackboots echoing on the cobblestones outside. A faint scent of cigarette smoke drifted on the wind. The sounds faded. After another minute or so, the agent got slowly to his feet.
"Patrol," he said. "Fortunately, their sense of smell is deadened by those fags they smoke. We're all right for now."
"You were saying?" Nathaniel prompted. "Yes. Firstly, the issue of the golem's eye. Several of these objects are kept in magical repositories belonging to the Czech government. The Prague Council prevents any access to them. As far as I know, they have not been used for magical purpose, but they are of high symbolic value, since the golems were instrumental in causing great damage to Gladstone's army back in his first European campaign. Several years ago, one of those stones was stolen, and the culprit never found. I speculate, and it is only speculation, mark you, that this missing stone is the one later found in the collection of your friend Simon Lovelace."
"Pardon me," Nathaniel said stiffly, "but he was not my friend."
"Well, he's nobody's friend now, is he? Because he failed. If he'd won, you'd all have been hanging on his every word and inviting him to dinner."
The agent gave a long, melancholy sniff of disparagement from somewhere within the hood.
"Hang on to this a minute. I need a drink."
"Yeah, it's all cold and clammy. Hurry up!"
"Coming."
Harlequin's hands were rummaging within his cloak, in a complex sort of way. A moment later they emerged, holding a dark green bottle with a cork stopper. He pulled out the cork and tilted the bottle into the depths of his cowl. A gulping noise ensued, followed by the smell of strong liquor.
"That's better."
Unseen lips smacked. Cork returned to bottle, and bottle returned to pocket.
"I'll take that back. You didn't damage it, did you? It is a bit fragile. Now," Harlequin went on, "perhaps Lovelace intended to use the eye himself. If so, his plan was thwarted by his death. Someone else, maybe an associate of his, who knows, has now stolen it from our government, and appears to have got the thing to work. This is where it gets difficult."
"They need the formative spell, too," Nathaniel said. "It is written on a parchment and inserted into the golem's mouth, before it comes to life. That's the bit that nobody's known for all these years. No one in London, anyway."
The agent nodded.
"The secret may have been lost. Equally, it may still be known in Prague, but just remain unused. The Council does not want to enrage London at present. The British are too strong. They prefer to send spies and small groups over to London to work quietly, gathering information. This golem of yours, it's too dramatic a move for the Czechs. They would expect invasion to follow as a direct result. No, I think you are hunting for a maverick, someone working for their own individual ends."
"So where do I look?"
Nathaniel asked. He couldn't help yawning as he spoke. He had been awake since the British Museum incident the previous night. It had been a taxing day.
"I must consider."
The agent remained lost in thought for a few moments.
"I need time to make inquiries. We will meet again tomorrow night, when I will give you names."
He wrapped his cloak about himself with a dramatic sweep.
"Meet me—"
Nathaniel interrupted him.
"I hope you're not going to say in the shadow of the gibbet, or at execution dock, or anything dreary like that."
The figure drew itself up.
"Ridiculous, the very idea."
"Good.
I was going to suggest the old plague pits on Hibernska Street.
No!
The agent seemed rather miffed. All right, he growled. 6 o'clock at the hot dog stand in the old town square. That mundane enough for you?
That'll do nicely.
Until then. With a billow of the cloak and a creak of hidden knees, the figure turned and swept its way up the cemetery path, its corpse light flickering dimly into the distance. Soon the light was gone, and nothing but a fleeting shadow and a muffled curse when it knocked into a gravestone indicated it had ever been. Nathaniel sat down on a headstone, waiting for Bartimaeus to show. The meeting had been satisfactory, if a little irritating. Now he had plenty of time to rest before the following evening. His weary mind drifted. The memory of Jane Farrar came back to him. How pleasant it had been to have her so close. It had affected him almost like a drug. He frowned.
Of course it was like a drug. She'd worked a charm on him, hadn't she? And he'd nearly fallen for it, completely ignoring his censor's warning. What a fool he was!
The girl had either wanted to delay him, or learn more about what he knew. Either way, she would be working for her master, Duval, who evidently did not want internal affairs having any sort of success in this matter. When he got back, he would doubtless face more hostility of the same kind. Duval? Tallow? Farrar? Even his master, Ms. Whitwell, was not to be relied on if he didn't produce the goods for her. Nathaniel rubbed his eyes. He suddenly felt very tired.
Bless! You look ready to drop.
The jinni was sitting on an opposite gravestone in its familiar boy guise. It was crossing its legs in identical fashion to Nathaniel, and pulling an extravagant yawn.
You should have been tucked up hours ago.
Did you hear everything?
Most of it. I missed a bit after he let loose that circlet. It nearly hit me, and I had to take evasive action. Good job those tree roots had dislodged a few gravestones. I was able to drop into an underground cavity while the probe passed over. The boy paused to shake a bit of grey dust out of its hair. Not that I generally recommend graves as a place to hide. You never know what you might find, but the occupant of this particular one was quite hospitable. Let me cuddle up to him for a few moments. It gave a knowing wink. Nathaniel shuddered.
How perfectly foul!
Speaking of which, the jinni said, that candle the bloke was carrying, was it really?
Yes. I'm trying not to think about it. Harlequin is more than half mad, which is no doubt what comes of living in Prague too long.
Nathaniel stood and buttoned up his coat.
But he does have his uses. He's hoping to give us some contact names tomorrow night.
Good, the boy said, busily buttoning its coat in a similar fashion. Then perhaps we'll have a bit of action. My recipe for informers is either to roast them over a slow flame, or hang them by a leg out of a high window. That usually makes a check spill the beans.
There'll be none of that if we can possibly avoid it.
Nathaniel began to walk down the path out of the graveyard.
The authorities mustn't know we're here, so we can't draw attention to ourselves. That means no violence or obvious magic. Got that?
Of course.
The jinni smiled broadly as it fell in step beside him.
You know me.